And it's now my pleasure to introduce John T from Southern New Jersey, speaking on Step 8. Thanks so much for coming, John. Go ahead.
Thank you for having me. My name is John, and I am a recovered alcoholic. I also like to identify as a person in recovery, on a path of recovery, as far as my other issues, because I have a number of them. But I am a recovered alcoholic, as from the terms of the big book. Anyway, as far as step eight goes, if you're at step eight or know somebody at step eight, you've already done quite a bit of work to get here. One thing about the big book, it's like a textbook. That's the way I was taught. It was like a textbook. We view it, and as you would book view a book, say on mathematics, or say algebra or calculus, things like that. You don't go to the middle of the book and start, answering the, learning the, how to do the problems. It just doesn't work well that way. The way the big book was originally printed and made, it was made for people who the only meetings that they had, the only connection with AA that they had was the book itself. And many people did get sober just by using the big book. As time went on, unfortunately, the big book had the message of it got kind of watered down, and the success rate went from near 75% down to maybe 4 or 5, whatever it is today. And that's because they are just not, unlike the BBA, who does follow it very, very closely. There is a watered down version of it in many, many places. I've heard the phrase, just don't drink and go to meetings. That doesn't get it. That doesn't work at all. The big book was written, and somebody picked the book up. They would wonder, okay, what's with this book? Why should I even bother going through all this work? Well, the way it's written, the first chapter is from the Dr. Silkworth, the doctor's opinion, which this is not just some ordinary run-of-the-mill doctor. This was the top doctor in the country. So to get the endorsement of the top doctor in the country on al alcoholism, that's quite a thing. If I'm an alcoholic and I'm picking up this book, I was like, hey, maybe that's something I'll look into. But will it work for me? I'm a real mess. So the next chapter goes into Bill's story, and in many places it brings out how Bill is a worst case scenario. So if I'm reading this book, I'll say, oh gosh, if it works for this guy, maybe it'll work for me. So there's a lot of endorsement and a lot of background to this book. Also, that it is written by experience. It's not written like a lot of books, say even on mathematics, that are based on other people's say so. This was all the experience of these people, and they do bring this out. And what I would like to say, as far as that goes, as far as people trying to change the order of things, thinking they can do it just the way they want to. I've heard the thing, there are many ways to do the steps, as there are people. That doesn't work either. It's like the old story of you're going to a party, and there's this chocolate cake that the hostess made, and it's perfect. You love this chocolate cake. So you ask her for the recipe. So she writes down the recipe, you take it home, and you start. Okay, 2 cups of flour. I think I'll use three. Then it says a cup of sugar. That's a lot of sugar. I'll use maybe a quarter cup of sugar. And on and on and on, changing this recipe. Well, by the time you're done, you'll have a chocolate cake, but it might not be like the one you wanted. So if you wanted what they had, you have to do what they did. And as it springs out in the big book, there's detailed, clear-cut instructions of how to get and stay sober. And this is one thing I always liked about the BBA. I'm almost at 12 years sobriety now, And I'd gone through the steps several times, but not until I went through the steps, the whole 164 pages with a guy named Vinny from the United States, did I really get what was going on and understand it. And so we're at step eight. If you're at step eight, you've already done a lot of work. At step four, well, step eight, just to rehash, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. So if you did a proper step four and you went through your resentment list and everything, you've already got a list of people that you have hurt and need to make amends to. But that also requires forgiveness. To do a proper amends, you have to have forgiven them and ready to do this in a sincere manner. Well, in doing the fourth step, we came to the last part of it, the part where you understand a realization of what your part was in it. Okay, now if you get to that part, the realization, you're going to be a lot more, or I was a lot meeker, let's put it this way, going to people that I had harmed, and was open to just making amends for what I did. And that part was very important because if I wanted to say, okay, I'm sorry for what I did, but you did more to me. And actually, I had a one of those deals where I had gone to a guy I used to work with and said, brought this out. I want to make apologize for it. And he basically said, "Well, I did more to you than you did to me." And I said, "Well, that really doesn't matter. I'm here to, just do my part." And it really went very, very well. In fact, I can say that after having done the work properly, this is not a step to be feared. It's a step that you should look forward to. I did after understanding it, after I went through the Big Book Awakening process and got to this point, I was really actually willing to get this done because I knew it was something that was going to free me. And it was not only going to free me, it was going to free them. Okay, so for those who would want to just say, I'm not ready yet for this guy. Well, you may not be ready, but the solution to that is pray for the willingness. Okay, this is with everything. If you don't feel it at the moment, pray for the willingness. And as an old timer used to say, how sick you want to be. So the more you clear up, the better you're going to be off. And also that this is not a one and done deal. One thing I learned from the BBA is that steps are not a one and done deal. Not at all. I mean, we go through them periodically because life is not stagnant. It's fluid. Things are always changing. We're always remembering things that we did in the past, and we may develop new bad habits that need to be cleaned up. I can relate to that, because I picked up a few things along my 12 years that I had to, take a look at and deal with. But all in all, I think being able to make that list, like I say, if you've done a really good fourth step, you got a really heavy duty start on this, and just a matter of being willing to carry it through to its conclusion. Let's see what else would I want to bring. Okay, forgiveness was a big deal, and some people, to backtrack, they have the opinion, well, I never hurt anybody but myself. And this is an alcoholic who has really in delusion. An alcoholic never hurts just himself. There are people all around him. He's like the tornado that it describes in the Big Book. There's just damage all around, family, friends, workplace, creditors, right down the list. There's so much damage done. And I think if we've done the work and got to this point, we understand that no, this is not the case. If we basically want to also go over step eight in the 12 and 12, that's a pretty good part to read also, good chapter to read, just to get as much input as you can as how to do it. Also, the help by a good sponsor is definitely irreplaceable. Just this is like a book on calculus. It's even though the outline and the basics are fairly simple, there are so many intricacies, so many things that a good sponsor can guide us through. It's incredible. I remember when my fourth like doing my fourth step, my sponsor was there with his notes from his fourth step, and he was comparing them to mine, adding things to them, questioning like, do you think it could have been this? Do you think that had a part? And I found myself adding to my list quite a bit, and it was that much more thorough, and it was not at all scary because he was sharing with me. He was like, we were dealing one on one, and I feel that's the way I like to deal with people myself, not from a position from on high, looking down on them or judgment. These people are my fellow brothers and sisters, who are no better or worse than I am. We're on a level playing field, and I know that my higher power loves them just as much as he loves me. And if I want to be of as much service to my fellow man, I am never going to look down on a person or judge them for what they've done, or what religion they are, or what political background they happen to endorse. I've learned over my many 75 years that I have to be very tolerant, and that gives me greater peace of mind, and more of a place where I can take a look at this step eight. I can go through it. I can be honest about people I've harmed, and approach them with not any kind of, well, you did this to me stuff, but okay, here's what I did, and here's my partner, and I want to ask how I could make this right. And I had another example with a business partner I had. We were partners in business for several years, and it ended badly. It ended badly. There was a lot of this, that, and the other. And yes, he had done as much as I did to make this break up. And so basically, years later, when I saw him after having done the work, I stopped him on the street and said, "Look, I'd like to apologize for all the things that I did during our partnership. I could have done more. Instead of doing this, I could have done that. And we'll just want to set things right." And he says, "I've been waiting years for you to say this. Thank you very much." And I felt really good. I didn't have the feeling that, you son of a bitch, pardon the language, you did more to me than I did to you. That never even entered my mind. I just felt so good, and felt so good for seeing him feel so good, that it was just a totally positive experience. So this step, please don't approach it with fear, because, and you may get a bad reaction here and there, but it's a work that has to be done to clean house. And if you don't do it, part of your house is going to be left dirty, and it's going to haunt you. Really, that's about all I have on step eight. I think thank you for asking me to speak. And from here, I would just be rambling.
Oh, thank you, John. Thanks so much. And much appreciation for that beautiful example of how fear can be overcome and then what a gift it is in return. So thank you. I'll go ahead and stop the recording.